This is Talk Radio, the 1998 KPMG Commercial Radio Station of the Year.
Is this a proper chair for a radio studio? Listen to this. Good grief.
Can I call you Nick?
You can call me anything you like, just as long as you call me.
Got a beep there.
I just want you to be happy with your beep.
Hello?
You wish to report a gas leak?
I was on to the radio.
You were? I'm sorry, there must be a cross line. Drugs, shame, hits, Eton. Boy 16, smoked dope next door to William. It's a world exclusive. Teenager smokes dope.
Pardon me, doctor. They had a jack of potato and salad.
Did you have butter on it?
No butter.
Can you hear me, my friend? Because it's a little bit duff from my end.
Duff?
Can you hear me?
Mull? Mull?
Hello?
It's not Mull of Kintyre, is it? Ooh, Mull of Kintyre.
No.
Good.
Nick Abbott. Hello, boys.
Hello, boys.
Hello, Nick.
How are my boys this evening?
We're very well. We're very happy.
You are?
Yeah.
Are you full of it?
Oh, yeah. That's what everyone says, anyway.
That is what everybody says about you. Absolutely full of it.
Penis. Penis.
Now, we're not going to go down that road already, are we? What was that dreadful music you started the program with, by the way?
It was Wise Guys, and it's quite good. But I just thought we'd do something a bit different. I thought we'd be a bit more dancey this week, but clearly I'll just abandon that idea. Do you know how difficult it is to come up with different tracks every night, trying to keep them fresh and keep it exciting for the punters?
No.
Exactly. I quite like it. I think it was a bit different. It was a bit sort of jumpy and exciting, and I know you're a big fan of dance music, so
right.
I figured we'd do something a bit different.
Mm-hmm. Get up and shake your ass, Kev. Ooh.
Yes, how disgusting.
Shake this.
Excuse me?
I don't know. It was just something to say.
Come on, dance! Dance, damn you!
So it's 0500 1053 89. It is a freak call. And I think the first call is about something I was going to talk about anyway. So let's take him. Hello, Peter.
Hello, but just before I start, that track by the Wise Guys is absolutely brilliant. It's called Start the Commotion. Everyone should go out and buy it because it's excellent.
Gotcha. See? Told you.
No, wrong.
No, it's brilliant.
Incorrect. You're a loser, baby.
Yeah, what I was going to talk about is...
why don't we carry on?
Yeah. Scotch hasn't mentioned this in the morning. Apparently people are... they're happiest when these three criteria I met. A, they watch soaps. B, they believe in God. And C, they have loads and loads of friends. But basically what all this amounts to is that they're living in cloud cuckoo land because, you know, they believe in something that doesn't exist, the fancy world, you know, religion and soaps.
Yes. Now, if I was going to be very, very controversial and say things that I shouldn't alter, I would say that the apart from the friends part, which you know,
even the friends, because about this.
Well, the friends is obvious. You have friends, it makes you happy because you know so on and so forth. That's just common sense.
Mm-hmm.
But the previous two, I mean, that's stupid people. Am I right?
Yeah.
If I was going to be controversial, I would say that would be stupid people. Stupid people watch soaps, and stupid people are, you know, religious fanatics.
With the friends, they say loads and loads of friends, but the thing is that most people have only really three or four people that they really, really care about.
Right, this is beginning to sound like a sob story from you.
No, I'm just saying they're not going to have 10 or 12, you know, so...
Well, it depends how old you are. If you're still in school, then you have 10 or 12.
Well, and, you have a gang, but you don't have really close friends, you know.
You have a gang?
No, I mean, you would have a gang.
Well, you roam about with the homeboys? Is that what you're saying?
Not me, no. No, I didn't do it.
Do what?
Whatever it was, I didn't do it.
Well, that's an indicator of guilt right there, ladies and gentlemen. He did do it, and furthermore, you are going to jail.
Damn it.
The death penalty is what I'm going to call for.
But yeah, that chip thing. the implants. I don't know if you mentioned this, but there wouldn't be any crime if that was in place, would there? Because, you know, if a burglar passes you, you'd shop him.
Right, okay, I'll put you on hold. You can talk to the previous host. Yes, I'll read this. This is, happiness is watching soap with friends. A professor finds, like a professor doesn't have anything better to do. Happiness is watching a TV soap opera with friends, according to an Oxford professor called Michael Argyle. A retired, guess what, social psychologist. Oh, blimey. He spent 15 years studying what makes us happy. Can you believe it? That's a direct question to you, Kev.
I can't believe it.
You can't believe it's not...
It took him 15 years.
Can't believe it's not buttocks. Poverty makes people miserable, he said. You know, when psychologists come up with stuff, I did psychology at university, so I spent 4 years of my life studying psychology. It is the study of the bleeding obvious. Poverty makes people miserable, he said, after 15 years of, intense study. Really? Who would have thunk it? Those on middle incomes seem no less happy, he says, than the very rich. That's because, stupid, that once you can pay your bills, then you have other things to worry about. Everybody's going to be, no matter who you are, you're always going to be depressed about something. You're going to be worried about something. If it's, blimey, I can't afford that yacht. I can only afford a 100-foot yacht. Damn it, the man next door's got a 200-foot yacht. You know, it'll get like that. From, you know, which in my car is 10 years old. And the bloke next door just bought a second-hand car that's only 5 years old. You know, it doesn't matter how much money you got, it's always something like that. Or, blimey, 40% income tax. Do you have any idea how many millions I've paid in tax this year? You know, that kind of thing. As long as you can pay your bills and you can buy your food and you can go on holiday twice a year, then there's always going to be something else to worry about. That's why the paper is, and they just love it, the tabloids, when somebody wins the lottery, they're full of, grief story. Oh, well, I've never been so miserable. Just won £30 million and talk about upset. Because, you know, none of my friends like me anymore. And I can't think of what to spend the money on. It's giving me, anxiety attacks in the middle of the night. So, of course, money doesn't bring you happiness after a certain level. What really aggravates is the people who read the tabloids are, you know, scrimping and saving together to buy a new pair of shoes for their seventh child. Which is where that whole religious thing comes in again. And so once you can do that, once you can provide for yourself and those what you love, you're always going to be worried about something else because that's the human condition. Depression. Not happiness. Misery. So, like I said, he spent 15 years, he's just come to me. You know, every psychologist who is currently undergoing like a big research project, just come to me, I'll tell you what the results will be. It's just obvious. Basing his conclusions on 29 questions to judge your state of mind, Professor Argyle says leisure activities play an important part in happiness because it's under the individual's own control what it is that they do. Sport and leisure activities are a good source of happiness, and we found that people who watch soaps are happier than those who do not. Back to my original point, that's because they're stupid. Stupid people are always happier than intelligent people because they worry about less. Because they're stupid. Kev.
No worries over here, mate.
Nonid says that TV itself promotes happiness. Those who watch a lot of programs other than soaps are unhappy. Well, those who watch a lot of soaps also watch a lot of other programs. Like people just dip in and out of Coronation Street? I think not. And so everybody watches a lot of television. You know, at least it's like 3 hours a night. It's pretty average. I mean, as shocking as that might seem, I can sit and watch 6 hours of television. And after that, then I feel like I've had a meal of cake. But, everybody watches a load of TV because that's what you do. That's what you do with your life. You go to work, you do a job that you hate for somebody you don't like, and then you come and watch television. And people who watch a lot of soaps are, generally the stupider people. Am I right?
Probably.
Come on, you're supposed to be... Ow!
Careful.
I hate when I do that.
Nick just stood up and his headphones nearly strangled him.
Yeah.
What are you doing now?
It's too warm here. Where was I?
I said probably.
I'm going to have to turn the TV off. It's...
Yeah, let's not start that again.
So, yes. So, naturally, they're happier. And but watching television in itself, you know, because there's lots of intelligent programs on TV. Well, some. Like, you know, on Channel 4, there'll be, you know, a few every now and again. Channel 5.
Yeah.
Mm. Channel 3. 2, sometimes. 1, definitely not. Ever, never, never. Should we go through this again?
No.
No. Okay, so the TV thing, yeah. He should have just said stupid people are happier than intelligent people because they worry less. We're going to be talking to some stupid people in a while. It's 0500 1053 89. He also found that married people are happier than those who are cohabiting. However, an extramarital affair led to unhappiness, he said. Well, of course, because you worry about it, right? But how, I don't know, is that, I wonder whether that was statistically significant, that married people are happier than those who are cohabiting. Why would that be? That doesn't make sense to me. That is not logical to me. Perhaps it's that the society is more, you know, appreciative of the married state than the cohabiting state, and so they feel, you know, pressure on society that this is not quite the thing to do, and so on and so forth. So that might be, you know, fairly obvious. Because they're fitting in and doing, you know, acting by society's stupid rules. Regular churchgoers, much happier than non-believers. Also, kind of obvious, because regular churchgoers, they think less. They worry less because their lives, they do what they're told, you know. They go along and they go to church, and church tells them how to think and tells them how to feel and tells them what to do, and then they just carry on and do that. And if the regular church goes, you would assume that they would lead their life in the manner in which they're told. So they think less. Therefore, they're happier. Think less equals happier. To sum up, he says, the key to a happy life was having one close relationship and a strong network of friends. Although, that didn't appear in any other part of this article. To sum up, it says, meaning, to conclude from everything that's gone before, well, but it doesn't. It goes off on a complete tangent. So I think that the person who wrote this thinks too much. So having one close relationship and a strong network of friends. And thinking less. We'll be talking to a lot of people who don't think hardly at all. That's what we specialise in on this programme, including, you know, the host. So it's 0500 1053 89, free call. We're going away in order to come back again.
It's official. More people are listening than ever before. Talk Radio, your award-winning station with the largest audience ever, ever, ever.
Nick Abbott on Talk Radio.
Free call, 0500 1053 89.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's too loud.
No.
That's what I said. All right, let's have one in Hove. Anybody living in Hove must be 50 years old, Marie.
Well, you're wrong. You're 40 years out.
You're 100.
Well, 50 and 40, that's not 100. I'm 90.
I was close.
You're quite close.
Oh,
yes.
Blimey, over the age of 50? What difference does it make, Mary?
No, what is your name? Who am I speaking to? I didn't catch your name. You're the presenter, aren't you?
What?
Now, who are you?
I
know some of them, but I don't recognise your voice.
My name's Nick. Nick.
Nick Abbott.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, as I said to your young lady, I said I was very interested in your philosophical remarks about stupid people are happy and people are intelligent worry a lot. Well, I agree with you 100%. I mean, you could go to the extreme with children that suffer with Down syndrome, for example. It's a terrible thing for the pet family, etc. But those people, I understand from their parents, they say they're the happiest people in the world because they don't know about responsibility, they don't take risks, not always. Some of them are quite intelligent. But in the main, no, they haven't got the worry on their shoulders that we have.
Right, and it's the same with very young children. They're not worried about, you know, money, they're not worried about the bills, they're not worried about what trainers they're supposed to wear, and so on and so on.
Paying the bills?
Yeah.
You see, where does worrying end and being concerned begin? They say, oh, you're a worrier. You're not a worrier. You take on your responsibilities and you want to carry them out. So they say, oh, you worry too. If you don't, you're going to have the bailiffs in, you know, if you don't pay your bill.
Then you'll have something to worry about.
Well, that's right. So you do some life, but I've got a new philosophy. I say to myself, I'm very lucky. I am 90. I've lived through two wars and I've had terrible ups and downs, but I'm still here to tell the tale. But the point is, if you can see and hear and walk and talk, you don't know how lucky. People take it for granted. You know, they think, oh, yes, that's right, I'm going here, I'm going there. But when you think and you see people that are very disabled or they're blind or deaf or whatever, you know, we don't appreciate what we have got enough, I think. I think human beings, we're not grateful for what we've got.
Can I take you back to when you were a teenager?
Pardon?
Can I take you back to when you were a teenager?
Yes, do.
Can you, do you vividly remember that time?
Yes, absolutely. From the time I was three, I can remember every day in my life, nearly.
But do you find that you can remember, like, a long time ago, much, much better than you can remember, like, for instance, yesterday?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, that's right. I mean, these days, I hear it's a common thing. You go in the shop, you've gotten what you've gone in for.
Yeah, I know,
I do. But I can remember what happened my first day at school with a tin with sand. They used to teach us the alphabet. We had to put our finger in the sand and go through with our fingers to make the alphabet. And I always remember when I came to the letter V, V for Victor, I was stuck. And I started crying, and I said, and the teacher said, why are you crying? I said, I can't make a V. So she used the same voice as I, oh, yes, you can if you try, she said to me. And I can remember that vividly.
Now, was this when you were a teenager?
Three.
You were three.
Now, teenager, yes.
Now, when you were a teenager, every society has an image of what the future is going to be like. You know, you live through that sort of fast-forward futurist thing,
right? I know what
thing,
you
right?
mean. Well, no.
Now, is today as like you expected it to be? Step back and look at it askance.
Like most young people, we hope for certain things. But you see, then politics and wars and things outside your remit take over. And then you begin to think it's no good me making plans because so-and-so's gone, which it did. I mean, I was married in 1938 and set up a very nice little home and everything was lovely and I was quite happy.
Did you used to live in Hove?
No, London, Willesden.
Isn't it funny that people of your age are drawn to Hove like a magnet?
Well, it was a long story because I was living in a house.
Well, we haven't got... Mary, I'd love to hear it, but we haven't got time for a long story, I'm afraid. But I want you to enjoy your time in Hove. With all the other people, you know,
Thank you very much. No, I'm not sorry I came here, but I, at heart, I'm a real Londoner, you know. But it's all right. I mean, life's easier here.
Of course. Okay, listen, thanks a lot, Marie, but we got to go.
Okay, Nick Abbott. Nice to talk to you.
Knees up, Marie. Everybody in the EIOs. Hut! EIO! Good one. 0500-1053-89. It is a free call. Do we need to take a break now? Oh, we do. Okay, this has appeared in a newspaper last week. I'm going to go ahead and read this now. It's clipped out from, I don't know, I can't remember. Who cares? Weird exam answers. Actual real-life answers written in exams by kids. What know nothing. In it.
Like
well,
us.
Can't make a V in the sand. I can make a V right now, Kev. There's one for you.
Hey!
Okay, to prevent conception, wear a condominium. Which would fit, as a matter of fact. Without boasting. For asphyxiation, apply artificial respiration until the patient is dead. Of course, that's for NHS patients. If you go private, you get much better treatment. And a magnet. Definition of a magnet?
Go on.
What you find crawling over a dead cat. I got a couple of those fridge maggots at home myself.
This is Talk Radio, the 1998 KPMG Commercial Radio Station of the Year.
Anorax, email Nick now.
mabbott@talk-radio.co.uk.
Hit me.
Here's one in Glasgow. Hello, Alan.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
It's that stupid phone. Remember I phoned in on Friday?
No, get on with it.
Right, anyway. It's about Prisoner. The rave version.
The what?
The rave version.
The rave version of Prisoner.
Prisoner,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Right, okay. And before I go, before I let it play.
Yeah, before you go, time is running out, by the way. Faster than you know.
Aye, right, okay. Guess what? Prisoner's getting sponsored by... food. I'm not allowed to see it. Now that food for you, boil a kettle, you put it in, so are the noodles.
Pot noodles?
Aye. Don't even allow you to see it near.
You're not?
Well, you just said it.
No, I didn't.
Aye, right, okay. And, oh, another thing. See the night in Channel 4.
Mm-hmm.
At 12 o'clock, there's a film on night, and it's called A Woman's Tale. Watch it, right?
A Woman's Tale, that sounds like one of those things that they show on Channel 5 at night. In fact, that's probably exactly what it is, just the camera showing a woman's tale. Here's one in London. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, Nick.
Rebecca.
How are you?
All right.
That's good. You know, you said that you studied psychology?
Yeah.
You really, really went through the whole four
really,
years?
Really, really, really.
Sorry.
Really, really, yes.
Did you really go through the whole 4 years?
Of course.
Did you get a certificate or something?
Yes. No, they presented me with like a glass bowl. Yes, I got a certificate.
So what made you do psychology?
I wanted to go to university, or rather, I did want to go to university, but for many and various reasons. First of all, my parents would have killed me if I didn't. Second, I didn't want to get a job. And third, I thought it was the you know, oh, please see my previous two answers.
Did you do a clinical psychology?
Everything was available. You just chose the electives, you know, whichever you were interested in.
What about child psychology?
Developmental psychology, we call it. I think I did 1 year, and then I thought, this is awful. And I strayed more to social psychology, more sort of wishy-washy and less scientific.
I done child psychology. I thought it was quite,
You've done child psychology. You should have done English, dear.
Well, I'm at college at the moment.
You are?
So, and we're doing psychological aspects of child development, as well as other things.
Mm-hmm.
Nick?
Yes?
Do you think I could have a signed photograph of you?
No.
Please. I don't know what you look like, and I've been listening to you for ages.
Good. You live in London?
Yeah.
That's too near, dear. No, you can't. 0500 1053 89. Studying psychology. Psychology should be studying you, Rebecca.
Why?
I don't know, you're beginning to freak me out. I'm thinking...
Are you insane?
I just want to know what you look like. Because you're really funny.
That's exactly how I look, really funny.
Oh, please, Nick. Please. I'll buy you McDonald's, I'll buy you Chinese, anything.
Okay, without naming any brand names, you're going to buy me a what?
Chinese.
Right. A Chinese, really? What's the family's name?
Pardon?
Rebecca, yes, how old are you?
18.
You're not 18.
I am 18.
You are not 18. You're like 30 mid.
I am 18 years old.
Rubbish, woman.
A woman?
I was born on the 15th of the 1st, 1980.
1980. Okay, we're counting back. Close. No
please,
cigar.
Please,
can
I have a signed photograph?
Oh, blimey. Let's sign it. Give her a signed photograph of Mike Allen. And then I'll sign it for me, and you'll just be happy. Full of happiness.
I want a signed photograph of you.
Do you absolutely promise not to show up at the building?
I promise not to show up. I'm not going to want to be one of those psychos outside the building.
How many psychos do we have waiting outside the building right now, Kev?
Never mind, I'm waiting outside. There's people working in here, aren't
there? There seems to be some lapse in security, and we've actually let them into the building.
So you're going to send me it then?
Must be big shows.
Blimey, she's on six. She's on hold. Take her address. Good grief, you're just the person that I don't... It's like Groucho Marx and I don't want to be a member of any club that would have me as a member, you know? I don't want to send my photograph to anybody who wants my photograph. In fact, I should flat out refuse to send my photograph out, because what the hell are you going to do with it? It's a direct question to you, Kev. Maybe I'll send another one to, what's his name? Because, you know, the one that I had, he stuck on the ceiling.
Yeah, I know.
We've been through all that, haven't
we? let's not go there, because that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. And I thought, no, I won't say it, because that would be wrong.
Yes, that would be wrong. You am a very bad man. Here is a call in London again. Hello, David.
Hi, Nick. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Hi. I just wanted to moan about the absolute crud on TV.
Sorry, I was, I'm coughing. You, Phil, moan. Go ahead.
I mean, I've got a TV guide here for Saturday. My wife and I stayed in to watch a movie. And we've got Casualty, Airport, Match of the Day, and Smith and Jones.
Okay, now back up a little more, because I thought that they had two fly on... No, maybe it's tonight. I swear. Look, I know I keep
not
going
one film,
on about...
Not one
I,
film.
I know I keep going on about the what's on the BBC, but it just astonishes. I am beginning to become one of those people who's aggravated about paying my licence fee, whereas previously, I've always, you know, it comes up every year, and no matter what I was earning, most of my life I've earned £5,000 a year. I don't mind admitting that. Well, you can laugh. £5,000 a year for most of my life. And even then, I didn't cheat on my licence fee. I'd pay the damn thing as it came up because I thought this was decent value for money. Mm. You know, you break it down day for day. And then it gradually occurred to me, I don't actually watch a damn thing on the BBC. Not one single stinking programme except The X-Files and The Simpsons, both of which are bought in, don't count.
Are
right?
The Simpsons on BBC One?
Two. You know, I used to watch the stuff on BBC Two because they used to have these great programs, these wonderful documentaries about art and architecture, and you know, they had Jonathan Meads, those kind of programs, absolutely wonderful. Mm. Now, nothing at all ever. They got BBC One is your official fly on the wall TV station. There isn't a damn night that goes by they don't have one of those stupid fly on the wall things.
Every night.
Either that or it's something about hospitals or cops, policemen. There's another damn series coming up. You know, all previous police series, every subsequent one is, now this one is really about, you know, like, first it was Zed Cars, it was Evening All and all that, and then it was The Sweeney, and now this is what they're really like. And then subsequently, you know, Hill Street Blues, no, this is like really real, and then it was the thing that followed Hill Street Blues with the shaky camera thing that makes you feel sick watching it.
NYPD Blue.
Right. And now they've got something coming up you know, there've been these teaser adverts saying, what would you think about a person who's, you know, snorting great lines of Charlie in a club and popping the pills, they should be in the police.
Why can't we put a decent...
Wait a minute, he should be in the police station, and they follow whoever it is, and hello, he is in the police station because he's a policeman. Big surprise. You know, police actually take drugs. Oh, what a major shock that is. You'll be telling me that teenagers take drugs next. And, you know, so that's all we need. It's another damn cop show and another damned hospital show. And they're twinning them. There's a fly-on-the-wall thing about hospitals that's just started.
Mm.
Blimey. And then damn Rolf Harris comes in with a hospital thing about the animals, and it just gets worse. It just gets worse.
Why don't you write a letter to the BBC and tell them they're putting crap on every night?
Well, I think they're probably, you know, my letter would get lost in the avalanche of mail that they must get to, you know, to saying that. What have we got on tonight? Here and Now. That's on right now. It's a report on heroin users. Well, that's great peak time family entertainment, ain't it?
Mm.
People are taking heroin again. Also, Big EastEnders, a copy of Coronation Street, followed by Children's Hospital. I don't believe it. Little Adele has to be fed by a tube as her digestive system has failed. I'm not making this up. Now the medics are preparing to fly from Belfast for a triple transplant surgery, if she's well enough. Football mad Trevor Francis, a 9-year-old in need of a hip operation, can't wait to get kicking again, and a 4-year-old is feeling queasy after swallowing the best part of a bottle of medicine. A children's hospital, a fly-on-the-wall thing.
Misery, misery, isn't it?
I am in shock.
Mm.
Then, health farm. What's that? It's a damned fly-on-the-wall thing about, guess what, a health farm, which is also medical.
Mm.
Followed by paranormal.
Unbelievable.
Can't say it now. Panorama. 4-year-olds being force-fed to get a head start at school. Then, Omnibus. Darcy Bustle, she's a dancer, right? Well, that's the kind of thing that you'd expect to crop up on BBC Two on Saturday night, you know, when you're a teenager and you just want to watch the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie on the other side, and your dad is insisting to watch a damned 5-hour show about Darcy bloody Bustle. And you'll fall asleep 10 minutes after the programme starts, and then you'll creep up to the thing to try and switch it over to ITV to see Arnie blow away the bad guys. And as soon as you turn it over, he'll be like, I was watching that. You know, he'll rouse himself from his sleep, do a little, open one eyelid just enough to say he was watching that damned thing about Darcy Bustle. Meanwhile,
there aren't any movies full stop.
Arnie was just about to blow away...
Makesh Alak Makarakesh.
And you missed it. There is a film on tonight. It's called I Was a Teenage Frankenstein.
Oh, my goodness.
Made in 1958. It's black and white.
It should be, yeah.
It should never be on. It shouldn't be on. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Somebody sent me a fact. I don't know where I should say this. Did you see that fax that somebody sent me, an insider from the BBC, about why the BBC aren't showing any movies anymore? Did
no.
you see that, Kev?
No, I didn't.
Do we need to take a break now? Because I'll discuss this with you. Have you... Because you must be familiar with this, right? You're complaining that there's no films on BBC.
Well, on any other channel, I mean, on Saturday, there were no films.
There's
only Darling for Murder, which I've seen about 20 times.
Right. If there is a film on the BBC, it is, like you said, it'll be the same thing over. It'll be Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Again. Unbelievable. It comes up again. That's all we need. This Christmas, they'll show it again. Trust me.
Mm.
Somebody sent me a fax from an insider, a mole at the BBC, sent me a fax telling me why they aren't showing any movies anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like me to tell you the reason why?
Please.
Can I hear it first?
Yeah, well, Kevin better hear it first, and then we'll go away, we'll come back. Here are more weird exam answers. Okay, actual responses to questions in a real-life examination. To remove dust from the eye, pull the eye down over the nose. I want you to try that, Kev.
Okay, here I go.
Ow! Ow!
Yeah, it works.
Question, where is the alimentary canal? Answer, the alimentary canal is located in the northern part of India. Three kind of blood vessels are arteries, veins, and caterpillars. The NHS, safe in their hands.
Yeah, indeed.
And what is artificial insemination? Artificial insemination is when the farmer does it to the cow instead of the bull.
Nick Abbott on Talk Radio.
Free call 0500 1053 89.
Okay, well, I told Ted what I was going to say. And he said, no, you can't say it on the air. I said...
What did you say?
No.
Oh, all right then.
So I won't. I hope that satisfied you, David. No. Here's one in Holver. Hello, Joan. Joan.
Hello. Is that Nick?
It sounds like me.
Oh, well, Nick. Have you had a bug-free...
What?
Weekend.
What? Okay, you've been on before, and you do this thing with a phone. Are you talking to me under the bedclothes? What is going on with your phone?
Well, I don't know what's wrong with my phone. It's one of those newfangled things I can't stand.
What? It sounds like you've got your handkerchief over it.
Well, I probably have. Now then, I'm going to talk about woodlice. Can you hear me?
Well, just vaguely. Are you holding the phone still in front of your mouth, or are you kind of...
No, it's over here now. Can you hear me?
I'm going to get to the bottom of this if it kills me. Hold the phone still in front of your mouth, because it sounds like you're rustling it over clothes, or you're dropping it in your bosom, or something is going on there that is blocking sound.
Now, can you hear me now?
Vaguely, yeah.
Now, can you really hear me?
I can really, really hear you, Joan, yes.
Am I on the air?
Oh, blimey, there she goes again.
Now, am I?
Okay, what kind of a phone is it that you have?
I've got one of these bloody BT things. Yeah, I don't know what they work. How they work? Friend of them, actually.
Are you holding it perhaps upside down? Are you holding it anywhere near your face?
No, I'm holding it on my ear and near to my mouth.
Right. Okay,
can
now
you
keep.
Hear me now?
Yes, I can. Keep it still while you're speaking.
Yes.
She goes again.
Oh my goodness, I'm 66
now. What is it about old people? I always want you to know exactly how old they are. Old people and kids. There's this period after about 9, something like that, that, you know, kids are really specific about age. I'm 3 4/8, they'll say. And you'll say you mean 3 1/2. Because we're sharp like that. And then there's a like a big period when they want to be older than they actually are, and then younger than they actually are, and then they want you to know exactly how they are. I'm 66, they'll say. You know, apropos of nothing at all. You know, as though that's supposed to make everything that they say in and around that, you know, worthy of attention.
Old people and kids, so that's all the callers to this program so far tonight, then.
Yeah, pretty much. Yes, I'll give it one more go, Joan.
Yes, I want to talk about woodlice.
Yes, I think you've got woodlice in your phone. Get an exterminator out immediately. Here's one in the Black Country. Hello, Nick.
Hello there, Nick. I'd like to talk about the dreadful state of the people around university nowadays. Oh, I am.
Really?
Yeah, well, I've just started, you know, and I've got to say they are the most depressing bunch of people I've ever met in my life.
They are?
Well, I introduced myself in the refectory. I stood on the table and said, hi, I'm going to be studying here for the next 3 or 4 years. And they was like just all looking at me as if, you know, I was crazy.
Wait a minute, you stood on a table in the refectory and said...
Hello?
And yeah. they said...
Yeah, well, they just looked at me. Well, I actually used Lorraine Kelly's voice as well.
Yeah.
Which was a little difficult because there was ectoplasm coming out of me at the same time.
Right, okay, that's like first-year student humour. 18-year-old's humour. You should get your own show, mate. Call up your local radio station, they'll put you on at the weekend. Here's one in West Drayton. Hello, Gillian.
God, it crackles, doesn't it?
What does?
The phone.
It does?
Yes.
Oh, blimey, we're not going to have the same problem with you and what's-her-name, are we?
What?
Never mind.
Yeah. I'm going to pick your brains, and very quickly too. The birth of Venus, what does it look like?
The birth of, well, a lot of kind of pus and blood and icky gore.
No,
I don't want to think about it, Gillian, if you don't mind.
The painting, The Birth of Venus.
Oh, The Birth of Venus. Yes?
Yes. What does it look like?
Well, it's a fat woman with her feet in stirrups for a start.
No. You don't know?
No.
Why?
Well, have I gone into the twilight zone? What is going on here?
No, my sister gave me a painting and she said it's the birth of Venus, but I don't think it is. This is a fat bird lying in the sea with five cherubs fluttering around her. And I thought the birth of Venus was a fat bird standing in a shell in the sea with no cherubs. So I don't know, and it's
You should be an art critic for the Daily Telegraph,
it's
Gillian.
It's really annoying me.
The birth of Venus, a fat bird in the sea.
It is, and if I pull a hamstring, it's down to you, because I've missed my warm-up now. I've got to go. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. So we've got classical art. We've had... have we had opera yet?
No.
Oh, we should have opera then.
I see a little silhouette of a man, Nick Abbott, Nick Abbott, will you dally with my fangle? Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very
frightening. Giving you more of what you want. Talk Radio. Your views and the news you need. 1053 and 1089 AM. Nick Abbott.
You have got to talk to him. He'll listen to you.
This is apropos of nothing at all, but it's just one of those things that really shocks me. A professor appointed by the government to investigate Gulf War syndrome says that British troops were treated as guinea pigs. Did you read about this? It's like you watched The X-Files last night. It is actually happening. Eminent scientist Malcolm has accused Whitehall of withholding vital evidence over vaccines given to more than 50,000 servicemen. He claims there's a culture of deceit culminating in a conspiracy to obscure the true scale of the problem. You see what I mean? Did you see The X-Files last night?
I didn't, know.
Government statements contradict thousands of accounts from veterans who insist they were subjected to an unregulated and experimental cocktail of vaccines. The troops were guinea pigs, he says. The manner in which they were tested with vaccines has never been investigated. The results were unknown. Men taking vaccines in different and unregulated amounts. Now, the information that is available should now be made freely available, and the MOD has much more information than it has, in fact, announced in the past. So it's like I said, the truth is out there. It's just that we ain't getting none of it. And that's to me, and I don't know anything about the Army. I don't know anything about the Ministry of Defence or anything like that, other than the people that I've spoken to have been in there. And what you read in the papers about how they treat the people who, work for them. And it just seems absolutely appalling to me. You know, of all the jobs in all the world, if you're gonna go out there and lay down your life, or, come back blind, or deaf, or mad, or crippled, or, and it seems that there should be some sort of structure to support the people who are injured, who come back. And it seems to be exactly the opposite. It seems to be that, you know, the message is, hey, come over here, die for us, or, you know, lose a leg, or an eye, or an ear, or your mind, and then we'll say, screw you, go to hell. It's a great life in the army. It's incredible. You know, all these people who come back with Gulf War syndrome, what has the Ministry of Defense and the government been saying ever since? It doesn't exist, they'll say. It's all in your mind. You're making it up. You're work-shy layabouts, and you're not getting a penny. It's pretty much the message that they've been given. Like, you know, thousands of people are going to come back, all are suffering from the same thing, and it's what, coincidence? Am I losing my mind here? Am I, like, shell-shocked?
Don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. Does that seem reasonable to you, that you come back, you go away prepared to lay down your life to be a grunt that some bloke in a map room can say, well, you go over there and, you know, we'll lose the front couple of rows of people because they'll get shot down first, but we might make some headway. You know, it'll be amusing. You know, what the hell? And then you do, and you come back, and the government says, you know, sorry, nothing to do with us, get lost. You know, money from us, are you joking, they'll say. And then around in, you know, a couple of weeks' time, we'll be buying poppies. Why the hell do we have to do that? Unbelievable. Of all the charities, that has got to be the most, the word ridiculous isn't right, the most shocking. What the hell do they need charity for? They should be put up in the Savoy, for crying out loud. They should everything they want, they should be given. Am I right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because they have given everything for us. And like I said, and the message seems to be, you give everything for us, literally everything, because there ain't no other job on the planet that's like that. Apart from perhaps, you know, going into a nuclear installation that's just that's melting down, you know, of that order. You give everything for us, and in return, we'll give you absolutely nothing. Screw you, is the message. You'll have to sue us, is the message. And that's what's been happening. Unbelievable. Where they were being used as guinea pigs. They were just making up cocktails, so this guy says, and sticking them in them. And well, like I said, it'll be amusing. Let's see what happens, they say. If we put it through, you know, the usual drug thing, it'll take 10 years and hundreds of millions of pounds. So let's give it to the grunts and see what happens. Talk about a shortcut. Incredible. And they come back, and the government looks the other way, says, well, we didn't do it. Nothing to do with us, they'll say. Like, am I making this up? The government, as one, turned their backs and said...
Not on purpose.
Exactly. They said...
You go to hell! You go to hell and you die!
Exactly.
You're supposed to be disagreeing with me. You're supposed to be the voice of reason here.
I mean, no. No, you're absolutely wrong. How can you say such a thing?
But that really shocks me. And every time I see something like that, it doesn't fail to shock me every time, you know. We would like you, join the army, lay down your life. And if you do, or if you get, you know, maimed and only half of you comes back, then screw you, sue us. This is the message. It's a great life in the army. Oh, that's the American one, isn't it? Be all that you can be.
I see Frank's joined the army then.
Frank?
Yeah, it was an advert, wasn't it? Two guys sitting in a greasy spoon going, I see Frank's joined the army then.
Really?
And then it cuts to Frank skiing and walking, walking along the beach. And
that's right.
That kicks ass!
They said, let's do that. Meanwhile, you know, what life is actually in the army is, it's like my mate used to be in the army. He'd spend 24 hours lying on his stomach in a field, spying on, you know, the IRA or whatever it happened to be. Wet, like in February. Can you imagine lying on your face in February, just watching for something to happen? It's a great life in the army. But don't get shot, because then we'll turn our backs and pretend you don't exist. Okay, here's one that went to the Gulf. He just dropped off. Well, that's it. As soon as I punched him up, he disappeared. An ambulance is at this moment not rushing to the scene, because he doesn't have, you know, a private medical cover, and couldn't, because he was on the phone to me, he couldn't also call the 999, or perhaps that's what he was doing. He had to hang up. in order to call the NHS because the army sure as hell isn't going to take care of him. Here is one in Oldham. Hello, Dave.
Hello, good evening.
How you going?
Yeah, not too bad. Yourself?
Yeah.
Good, good. Yeah, I'd just like to say that I was in the Gulf just after the war finished. We didn't actually have all the jabs and everything that the guys were given that were there during the war, but it seems to me that all the jabs and everything they had before they went, that they didn't really know what they were giving them.
No, wait a minute. They didn't know what they were getting, or they didn't know what they were giving them?
They didn't know what it was to combat. The guys that were having these jabs.
Right, they weren't told what the jabs were either for or consisting of.
It was either for, you know, like chemical attacks or nerve agents, things like that. That's right. What it seems to me.
That's right. You're a grunt in the army.
Yep.
The sergeant tells you, line up and get a jab.
Exactly.
What are you going to do? You're going to say, no, I'd rather not. For on medical reasons, I'd rather not take something that, you know, on purely logical reasons, I'd rather not get an armful of some noxious chemical. I don't even know what it is.
Well, that's it.
No, because you'd be ridiculed. Probably, legally, you could have said no, but you would have been ridiculed and probably discriminated against and so on and so forth. So everybody, blindly lined up and
yep.
And got the doctor said, just a small prick.
Yep, that's it. But if you didn't have it, you would have been charged for it. You know, you would have been hauled in front of the company commander and you would have been put on orders for not having it.
And so you didn't actually get it yourself, but you were around people who had it.
Yes, I was.
And did they feel? What was the feeling amongst the men who were, there at the time?
Well, they were told they were having these jabs against nerve agents or chemical, whatever it was that Saddam was supposed to have out there, but they didn't really know what it was for.
But my question was, what was the feeling about, in the group?
Well, a bit of apprehension, I would think. They didn't know what.
Did nobody discuss this?
Well, it's the sort of mentality that you said. You know, you're told to stand in line and have these jabs, and that's it.
Well, that's,
you don't question it.
Well, that's part of the training to be a grunt in the army is to just do whatever the hell it is you're told and shut up. Because otherwise you're not going to throw yourself in front of the bullets that are coming your way. Okay, thanks a lot, Dave. 0500 1053 89. It's a free call. We seem to be getting very, 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 very serious now.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
I don't know. Let's talk about a turtle that bit a kid's thumb.
There we go. That's a Nick Abbott we know.
Okay, well, let's talk about that in a minute. Here's one in London. Hello, Philip. Got to press really hard on line one, like I said before. Philip.
Hello.
How you going?
All right, not bad. How long have you got?
Minutes.
Okay. No, while I was listening, there's one of these people things that you forgot to mention was cookery shows.
Yeah, we've got cookery shows up the stick in
anyway,
this
country. What was the phone about? I go in this pub on a Friday night, and 2 weeks ago they put the price up by 20 pence.
What?
20 pence.
20 pence a pint?
Yes.
To how much?
It's now £2.40.
£2.40 for a pint of lager?
I drink the black stuff that comes from Ireland.
You're having a laugh, ain't ya?
They put it up 6 pence in June, and then 2 weeks ago they put it up another 20 pence.
Son of a bitch!
I wrote to the brewery.
Yes?
And I got a letter back saying it's nothing to do with the brewery, it's the landlord that's doing it now.
Oh, blimey, that's all we need.
And this is before...
They're conspiring. He doesn't work for the Ministry of Defence, does he?
No, I hope not.
And as one, the people at the bar said...
I'm pissed off!
I couldn't agree more. We'll go away, come back.
Alastair Wanklin, Moscow.
Talk Radio Satellite. Weather, a cloudy and cold night ahead across most areas with a brisk northeast wind.
It's snowing!
No, it's not snowing, but it is cold. Northern Ireland and western parts of England and Wales will have the best chance of staying dry. And the outlook for tomorrow, another wet and chilly day ahead with the odd spell of sunshine in the west. Talk Radio News Time. It's coming up to 4 minutes past eight.
Award-winning talk radio across the UK on 1053 and 1089 AM.
Is this a proper chair for a radio studio? Listen to this. Good grief.
Can I call you Nick?
You can call me anything you like, just as long as you call me.
Got a beep there.
I just want you to be happy with your beep.
Hello?
You wish to report a gas leak?
I was on to the radio.
You were? I'm sorry, there must be a cross line.
Here we are,
Drugs, shame, hits, Eton. Boy 16, smoked dope next door to William. It's a world exclusive. Teenager smokes dope.
Pardon me, sorry. Did they add a jack of potato and salad?
Did you have butter on it?
No butter. No.
Can you hear me, my friend? Because it's a little bit duff from my end.
Duff?
Can you hear me?
Mull? Mull?
Hello?
It's not Mull of Kintyre, is it? Ooh, Mull of Kintyre.
No.
Good.
Nick Abbott.
I should get my own death metal band.
What would you call it?
I'd call it.
How would you be spelling that? You've not given out the email address or anything, have you?
Oh, who cares?
No, come on, people want to know.
No, it's like they, did you hear in the news that bloke who'd stuck a chip in his wife?
Yeah.
To tell what she was thinking? I think just by the sound of the guy's voice, which was kind of droning on and on like that, I think most of the time you could tell what his wife was thinking. It would be
boring.
What was he talking about? I mean, I know Peter Dealey was talking about this too, but I mean, seriously.
What? Are you insane?
Come off it. A chip in your arm is going to be able to tell what you're thinking. I mean, it might tell that you're excited or your heart's racing or, but that's about it. Like complicated thoughts from a chip in your arm, you are joking, innit?
Maybe we should get a computer fitted in Sick Boy, you know, like a ZX Spectrum or something, see what happens.
Yeah, I'm going to insert a chip in him.
N Abbott, 2Bs1T, at talk-radio.co.uk.
Or it might be a whole baked potato, it depends on how I feel.
Is the email. Or if you want access to any of Nick's incredible websites, www.
Oh yeah, how many are there now?
Oh, about 100. Nick Abbott, that's one word, 2Bs1T. com. Isn't that exciting? Oh, and you can fax us as well, 0541 59 69 79. And that's it.
Oh.
Do you want the phone number and the address as well?
No.
Okay.
Here's one in your beautiful Edinburgh. Hello, Rita.
Hello.
Rita.
Yes. My son was in the Gulf.
Yeah.
And 30 of them had refused to take the medicine.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And?
And been taken before the colonel, and were made to take it.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
He's not very well at the present moment, but he's still in the army.
Really?
Yes. He's having violent headaches, and his mood swings just really are horrific.
And the army have been what in this
nothing.
Respect? No, you're not getting anything from them at all?
There's nothing.
Okay, big surprise.
Yes.
Now we know. Thanks a lot, Rita.
That's all right.
Cheers. 0500 1053 89. It's a caring, sharing organisation. Please feel free to go join the army because they, they care about your future naturally. Here's one in the BB. I'm on. I'm sorry. Christchurch, Rachel.
Hello. I feel awful.
Well, you probably look fabulous.
I feel very strongly about this dreadful business out in the Gulf.
Yeah.
But I was ringing up to ask you, and I'm serious about this.
Yes.
And I was waiting for your answer,
mm-hmm.
because my husband and I were saying, well, all we listen to these days or watch is News and Newsnight, and we like to see the odd film, and we have seen Dial M for Murder umpteen times.
Yeah.
Please tell me why. No, come on.
Why they're only showing the same films over and over and over and over and over again?
They're not showing the same. I don't even mind seeing some of the same films.
I do.
Well, that particular one I am fed up with, but there's some that I can watch again and again. But
again and again and again and again and again gets
exactly.
a bit boring. Yeah.
What is wrong?
I don't know. Well, I do
you
know.
You said you did
Well,
know.
I do know, but I'm not allowed to tell you because it's unsubstantiated rumour. But it was from
well,
a mole
the
on
rumor.
The... It was from a mole on the inside. No, I've discussed it with my producer man and he say no.
But if it's Kevin, he wouldn't know whether
I
it was
know.
No.
What the hell does he know? But he said... he said no. Exactly.
Well, that's awful.
I know.
I'm going to ring up the BBC.
I think you should complain to Talk Radio. Complain about Kev. Get him fired.
No, I'll ring up the BBC sometime.
Okay, well, then, like the Minister of Defence, they'll take your complaint and give it the,
I'm sure they
everything
will.
It deserves.
That is awful. They'll, and that lady's son, I mean, that makes me feel sick.
I think you'll get a letter from, what's his name, and it'll say, Dear Madam.
I don't really give a crap.
Yours sincerely. Thanks a lot, Rachel.
Bye.
0500 1053 89. It's a free call. Here is one in Harlow. Harlow.
Hello.
John.
Hi. Just finding to say that one of my friends, who's 15, did his work experience at a local radio station.
Yeah.
And he's been given his own little slot. It's one that comes out on TV.
He's been given a what, sorry?
His own slot.
Excuse me? He's been giving a slot on his local radio station?
Yeah.
Really?
It's one that comes out on the TV, so it isn't particularly brilliant.
It's one that, it's a television, a radio station that comes out on
sort
TV?
Of. It's
Earth are you talking about, boy?
It's a sort of, the teletext channel things. They have loads of advertisements, and there's some music going on.
There is?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking. Do you know what this person's talking about, Kev?
No idea.
What the hell are you talking about, John? So you put on teletext?
Well, no, it's not exactly teletext. It's just a channel that's near Reno or something. And
you mean it's a is it cable?
Possibly. I don't know.
Well, think, boy.
Well, I don't have cable and I've got it, but loads of people have said it's to do with cable, so
right.
I don't really know.
It's one of those local community radio stations.
Yeah, I think so.
And he's been giving his own slot on it.
Yeah,
well,
and
well, that's great.
He's been told that he can bring me and one of his other friends along to be his guest on his radio station.
Yeah, and what will you contribute?
I don't know. I think he's probably going to be suspended.
Well, anything you can do to contribute to that would be amusing, probably, for
you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, the best of luck in getting him fired.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, mate. And remember at all times that it's not a serious business, it's show business. It's like no business I know.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know.
And Kev's got his hand up. Yes, you need to go to the toilet?
No, I've just been... This is in a sort of...
Oh.
It's okay, I wash my hands. A related...
Before or after?
During. this is...
In the sink?
Oh.
Oh, please.
No, come on.
Everything about it is appealing.
Everything about it is disgusting.
I was trying to do a segue from John, who's talking about...
Everything that traffic will allow.
Traffic?
Working.
Did you have to go past to traffic? Because traffic is the people that do our adverts. Did you... was anybody from traffic in the toilet when you were peeing in the sink? Or does nobody know about this?
Could you get that happy feeling?
And when you were doing it, did you think, nowhere else can I get this happy feeling? You thought, I'm full of happiness. Both hands full.
When you are stealing that extra bow.
And when you'd finished, did you bow in the mirror? Like when the lights come on in the toilet after like 30 minutes, you're in there, the lights automatically come on, did you steal an extra bow?
I got a round of applause.
You
as well,
did?
As a matter of fact, yeah.
Who was in there?
I've no
Don't
idea.
Don't tell me.
But for John in Harlow was talking about radio stations and things, and this is from Adrian, who's at Rich's house, apparently.
Who?
Adrian. And he says, Dear Nick, it's a fax.
Yeah.
I'm in desperate need of a job, and I rate myself very highly on being able to continually talk about any subject for a long time.
Right.
How do I get into being a radio DJ? Please could you give me some advice on air, or please get someone to fax me back on 0181.
Yeah.
I'm very serious about this. I've been trying to get some info on the topic. Please help.
What, is he nuts?
Well,
he wants to get into this business?
Mm-hmm.
He must be out of his mind.
I would say.
Are you serious? He must be...
Crazy.
Oh, you could have driven a bus through that gap.
Crazy.
I am not a professional.
But what would you say,
but I do aerobics.
You've got Adrian who says he wants some advice, and I know exactly what you're going to say.
Yeah, don't do it.
There we go.
Ask me another one now.
Okay. Square root of two.
As for getting a job in this business...
No, you're never gonna get it.
Okay, am I made myself clear? Here's one in... Because I've got them all. Here's one in London. Hello, Len.
Hello, Nick.
Nick, listen, stop knocking the BBC, please.
I wouldn't knock them.
It's crap like that that's keeping me in business.
It is?
It is.
What kind of business are you in?
Video business.
Oh, I see. That kind of, little under-the-counter movie action. Right.
Yeah, more crap, please.
More crap keeps you in business?
Yeah, the more the better.
Fills you with enormous amounts of...
What?
Happiness. That's right.
Happiness. What's that, it's on BBC Two, I think it's the best thing they're doing, that Carolina Hearn comedy.
Well, I saw one, yes, and it was good.
Great.
Yeah.
Great, it's on tonight.
Finally, there was something worth watching, that's correct.
Yeah, really, really good.
What's also great is the that thing they've been doing on Channel 4. I swear Channel 4 have taken over what BBC Two should be doing. It's all this excellent documentary stuff, The Lost Civilization. Have you been watching that?
No.
Because previously, historians had thought that, the pyramids and the Mayan temples and, the Nazca lines and all of this sort of stuff was 2,000 odd years BC. Well, it comes to find out that it's 10,500 years BC. There's this whole civilization. Oh, so this bloke is proposing. I don't know, some of his facts seem a little sketchy and quickly run over. But he's proposing that all of these things were created by... or not necessarily the ones that are standing now, but they are standing on the site of, temples created by a civilization we previously didn't know existed that traveled the world and, discovered America a good 10 minutes before Christopher Columbus did.
Amazing.
And, they were all, it was all based on star formations in the sky 10,500 BC. Unbelievable.
Right, Nick, I've got to go with my customer.
And there's nothing about having a customer that doesn't give you happiness. It's the greatest gift that you possess, to give them this, that kind of movie. And what's the best seller at the moment? Oh, he's gone. Of course, he has to nip around the back. Some bloke will be coming. Oh, I really like that movie you gave me last night. That was wonderful. You'll say, have you got anyone like that?
Who, Myth?
And the guy says, you're getting Fender.
Nick?
Yes? Here we go.
What was the worst job you ever had?
Well, there was this lobster.
No, never mind.
Here's one in London. Michael.
Hi, Nick. The young lady who phoned you about half an hour ago?
Yes.
Said you thanked you for your photo?
Yeah.
You want to watch that, man? Because he sounded like Play Misty for me.
I know.
Yeah?
Scary.
And the woman that had the phone, the funny phone, the old lady?
Oh, yeah.
I think she had it in a cupboard, was opening and shutting the door.
I don't know what the hell was going on there. Every time, because she has called twice, including this time, and each time it sounds like she's burying the phone in her bosom.
Half the time it sounded like she was in the bath with it and it was underwater. And the other time it sounded like she was opening and shutting the door.
Yeah, but I think in a nutshell...
Sorry, there is a fault.
Exactly, and I think it's, there was a fault with the phone as well.
Yeah, and the guy from Birmingham, the student.
Yeah.
I should think he bought a pencil of Mickey Mouse.
You're a cheeky monkey.
You've been making notes, haven't you, Michael?
Yeah.
Right.
And this Gulf War syndrome.
Oh, blimey, you've got something to say about everything.
Anybody that goes and gets to puts themselves up front to be shot at has got to be out of their brains.
Well, that's what they're relying on.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Michael. That's what training is supposed to do. It's supposed to rob you of logical thought. Because logical thought would prevent you from going over the top. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, that's not what a logical person would do. You would not throw yourself in front of oncoming fire. You wouldn't go into an empty house knowing that it was, potentially booby-trapped, or that there might be somebody in there, there might be a sniper nearby, or so on and so forth, because that would be a mad thing to do. And so army training robs you of logical thought. And makes you paranoid, witless, scared to not do what you're told. Which is some kind of training that would rob you of all logical thought. I mean, basically, it takes your whole person away and makes you a robot. That's what they're after, robots. And until they can actually make robots to do the job of the infantryman, which will never... The job of the infantryman will never go away. I mean, you can have smart bombs, you can have the laser thing, you can have CNN watching the bomb go into the top of the the building, and you can have laser-guided missiles, and so on and so on and so on, and all this, you know, billion-pound technology, and all of that jazz, and it will never take away the job of the grunt, who has to go in and, you know, deal with snipers and booby traps and, you know, all that sort of jazz. And so you will always need a willing collection of, let's face it, basically stupid people who are prepared to, you know, throw away their lives for what? How much do you earn? Nothing, I'm guessing. What, 15 grand a year as a grunt?
If you'd like more information on joining the Pretty Charlie...
Yes, then call someone else, because we don't care. Well, I do care. That's the thing. It's not that I don't care. I'm not putting the people who are soldiers down. You understand that, don't you?
I am on
their side. It's the people who are abusing them that I have a problem with.
Well, I understand that.
You do?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just as long as you understand that. Here is one in Colchester. Darren.
Nick, yeah.
Yes.
Before I get into what I want to talk about, I've written in for a photograph of you.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, being a listener of your show and not being a freak is a contradiction in terms. There's nothing wrong with me.
I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah. Have you got my letter, by the way? It's regarding the stiff stuff.
No.
Oh, you haven't.
When did you send it?
Well, it was Friday before I rang up about the stiff box set, the CDs.
Yeah.
And I sent it in on the Saturday, so I should get to you by last Monday.
Nope, didn't get it.
You haven't got it.
Either that, or I haven't opened it. There is a pile from one day last week that I haven't got to, because I'm very, 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 very busy.
Okay, then.
And there's the stuff in piles all over my flat.
Okay. Well, I've asked for a signed photograph.
I have piles, Darren.
I'm not rising to the bait. I asked for a signed photograph, but I only want it because of Swapsy, for one of your mates, because he's got one of Scott Chisholm.
Ah, of course. Well, you should have just gone right ahead and asked for Scott Chisholm's photograph, mate. I would have given it to you. You don't have to write in and ask for a photograph of me. In fact, I prefer that you don't. Write in and ask for a photograph of Scott Chisholm.
You can send me one, then.
Well, I'll give it exactly the same consideration and attention that I would if you'd asked for a photograph of me. I'll leave it in a pile in my flat, and you'll be busy calling me in 3 weeks' time asking me where the hell it is.
Yeah, all right, I'll leave it then.
Okay, good man.
Oh, no, I'm finished yet.
Oh,
blimey. Well, I rang in about this, didn't I? This thing I'm about to mention now. You ready?
Get on with it.
All right. Karaoke songs.
Yeah.
Right. I got this catalogue from a well-known electrical firm place. I can't mention it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got about 8 pages full of karaoke songs, what you can get, and you will not believe some of the stuff that is available for people to sing along. I mean, it's so obscure stuff.
Are you swaying from side to side?
Uh-huh.
Do you have a lighter handy?
Nope.
Damn it.
You ready?
Yes.
Right. Oh, Superman. Lonnie Anderson.
Oh, Superman is a karaoke song.
Yeah.
You're nuts. Oh, Superman is a karaoke song. Can you imagine the embarrassment of being on stage doing that?
It gets worse.
It doesn't get worse.
It does. Da, 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 trio. Yeah.
No.
This is true. 2 pints of lager and a pack of crisps, please.
That's not a karaoke song, it's just the same sentence over and over again. I'll have 2 pints of lager and a pack of crisps, please.
A sportiness abounds, yeah. Worse. In a Garden of Eden.
Oh, come off it. Is it the full 15-minute version?
Oh, who knows? And The End by The Doors.
How about Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen?
I see a little silhouette of a man, Nick Abbott, will you dally with my fangle?
Absolutely will not do that, no.
Oh, there's one here as well, Like a Virgin, Elizabeth from Cheddar.
Elizabeth from Cheddar, no, I haven't got that one either, but I do have this one, I'd like you to karaoke this. I don't hear you yodel, Darren.
Oh, you wanted me to yodel to it?
Yeah, and I want you to take a picture of your yodel and send it to me in the post.
Nick Abbott on Talk Radio. free call 0500 1053 89.
Talking about mad cocktails of drugs that people take without, you know, this whole Gulf War syndrome thing. People were forcibly injected with drugs that they, first of all, the people that were giving them the drugs didn't know what they were. And second of all, the people that were being given the drugs didn't know what they were. Well, I guess in some respect, a million kids in this country do that every week. Like that. So you don't have to join the army. You can really screw yourself up, you know, in the squalor of your own local nightclub. There's something to think about, but not for too long, eh?
Not that we recommend it.
Did I just say that I recommended it?
No, I'm just saying I don't.
Here's one in Welling. Hello, Richard.
Butch. Oh, hi, Nick.
How's it going?
Oh, sorry about that. Oh, fine, yeah. I'm just ringing up to talk about the Gulf War thing.
Yeah, which is not what it says on my screen. I'm just getting a bad vibe off you, dude. Here's one in Luton. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Nick. You all right?
Yeah.
Nick, I wanted to ring in. Just recently moved to Luton, student, three other guys here, all get on well with them and everything. And we've got a little patch of grass in our back garden.
Really?
It's a lovely little garden.
Smooth.
I tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've just sort of like been out in it. And over the past week since we've been here, day after day, there seems to be a little addition to the garden. And it's like a little brown, blobby addition.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen the culprit. It's like a young sort of like
really, what's the guy's name?
Oh, I tell you, I wish it was, because then we could could put it through to him in more than words,
of course.
Yeah, but it's like
more than words can say. Yes.
It's like the littlest hobo type dog. You remember that thing, don't you?
No.
You know, there's a voice, it keeps on calling me.
Oh, stop singing.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's an Alsatian. Okay, so what I'm thinking is I've got three options of what to do with this.
Yeah.
One is we can either grab the dog and put its nose in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's option one. Option two is we can follow it back to its lair and have a word with the owner.
Yes.
Quiet word with the owner.
Put the owner's nose in it.
That would be an even better idea. Yeah. Or option three, Nick, is to follow it back, take a bucket and a bag, scoop it all up,
mm-hmm.
and see how he likes it on his doorstep. Which one?
Yeah.
Which one do you think I should go for?
I think the anal probe.
God damn it, I didn't have an anal probe.
Hey, maybe I should put a cork up there.
Oh.
Dude, sick.
Maybe.
Thanks
a
lot, mate.
Okay, cheers.
I don't know. Do we want to go into this whole student in Luton thing?
What do you want me to say about student
Luton?
Well,
I didn't realise that there was a place of learning in Luton.
Yeah, there's a whole university. It's a complete nightmare, though.
The University of Luton?
Yeah.
No.
They've got a magazine out, and it's called Looney. Luton Uni. It's abbreviated. It's Looney.
There is no University of Luton. You're making this up.
I've got a huge, great big war chart in front of me, as sad as it may sound. I'll tell you what, for the organisation, I'm not going to go into that because I might get someone a bad name, but it's the organisation's so bad. Apparently, I went there last week to enrol, and they didn't know who I was. I was Sarah Jenkins or something like this when I gave them my number.
Sarah Jenkins? Have you gone through the change?
Sorry?
Have you had the operation?
I tell you what, I wish I had. The only reason I came here, and this is going to sound bizarre, is because they've got a radio course going here.
He's a very disturbed little boy.
I am, I tell you. And it was the only place I could find in the country which did it. So I was like over the moon to be invited here. And since I've seen the places, oh dear.
Well, it couldn't possibly be worse than Brunel. I mean, how many people study at this university?
There's about, apparently, I've been told it's like 15,000.
No way, I've never heard of the University of Luton.
There is, I swear to you, there is a place, it's got like three different blocks as well.
I
have you ever been to Luton, Nick?
I think that you have been smoking this patch of grass outside your window.
I tell you. Have you ever been to Luton, Nick?
Luton. Yes, I took off from an airport there. The only good thing about Luton is the airport leaving it.
Well, I know, I can't really disagree with you there, but, you know, if you go into the centre, which is a painful experience in itself, but if you go into the centre, you'll see this great big block. There's more students around here than what there is normal people, and I use that word very carefully. You know.
And so what course are you doing?
I'm doing media practices with radio.
Excuse me?
It's media practices with radio.
That's a degree course now?
It's a BA, yeah.
Oh, blimey, they'll have eating lunch as a degree course next.
Come on, what's that supposed to mean then?
Well, what the hell are you going to do with that, boy?
Well, it's 3 years' worth of course, and hopefully I'll come out of it and I'll
You'll be unemployed is what you'll be.
Yeah, but at least I'll have the qualifications then. you know, at least I can go. I mean, I've like wrote to the local radio station here. Hopefully, I should be able to.
Yeah,
to
get in. Yeah, it's like they say in student union toilets, just above the toilet roll dispenser. It says media course degree. Please take one.
Hey, life's what you make it. You know, if I didn't do this now, and then in like 15 years' time, I look back and like my sad little job, which I was like doing pushing, I don't know, babies around or something like this. I don't know, and working in a hospital or something.
Yeah.
You know, and then I could think back. Oh, I'm doing this. Great. You know, but I could have done that. And well, at least I'm finding out, you know.
Of course, no, I mean, I'm ridiculing your degree, but that's, oh, blimey, oh, where did you get this from?
Well, I'm applying for next year.
You are? Well,
yeah, that's one of them. I think I'll go now.
Russell, who works on this show, is applying to the University of Luton, and I have in a palm of my hand a brochure called the University of Luton. Luton,
yeah.
Luton is dot, dot, dot.
Luton is full of
yeah, exactly. I think you'll be getting a degree from. Oh, here are pictures of people who go to Luton.
Mm.
Oh, blimey! Look at the state of these people. I would not put these people in a brochure for some place.
Have you got the green one there? Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a. It's
the
colour of.
That?
It's the colour of bile. Is what it is. Is this? I'm not. You know, feeling too positive. Although there is a picture of fireworks on the inside front page.
I know, it's very attractive.
Maybe that's what you see when you close your eyes after having smoked the patch of grass that's outside your window.
Well, most of the students here, Nick, probably, yes.
Is that what Luton University looks like? It's a mansion.
It's, that's the one that's like based along this main road. It's like on this dual carriageway about 5 miles out. There's one section there. It looks huge. And then you've got like this other little squatty place on Castle Street, which is probably where Russell. I've taken Russell to in a media course here.
Yeah, you're probably one of the many people
who
are throwing the next 3 years away doing some sort of media thing. But that's a fabulous looking. That's a country mansion. That's absolutely enormous.
Well, that's not what you get.
It's a Palladian pile.
That's the one that's about 3 miles out.
Oh, okay. So
that's for all the good students, you see.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
When they're doing, like, computers and, you know, chemistry and all that good stuff.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Okay, well, you'll have a great time. Most of your time will be spent, you know, throwing up and...
No, I've done it all before, Nick.
Oh, right,
I've done
okay.
it all, I've been, like, I've got a trainee manager's job out of being at university before, and I didn't like it, and I decided to do this.
Well, I bet you'll be doing it all over again. You'll be spending most of your time at the radio station trying to be a DJ, and then you'll get your degree, and at the very end, you'll be making a call, and on the other end of the line, some bloke will say...
Hello, Job Centre Switchboard, Richard speaking.
Nick Abbott.
I mean, he's a stand-up guy. He really cares about you, too.
These brakes aren't long enough. I'm halfway through an apple. I hate that. I'm going to put it down and I'm going to turn bran. I don't like bran.
Well, the next one goes on for a little while, so...
It does?
Yeah.
So I'm just reading about student life in Luton from this gorgeously and expensively put together magazine. So Russell, you're thinking about this is going to be the place to go? Because it looks good from here. But you were listening to that guy when he said that the building that you see in the picture here, this great Palladian pile that looks like some member of royalty used to live there, that ain't it. That's not where you're going to be. You're going to be in some probably hideous looking 1960s built crepuscular pile.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not going there.
Not going where?
Luton.
Luton?
Mm.
What? And they sent you this brochure, which must have cost at least a fiver. This is very expensively put together. And so,
yeah.
What, you just got it to for what reason?
Through the post. Well, because the course sound pretty good.
And so you've refused, you're rejecting it because?
Because it's not...
Too few bays.
No, because there are better courses around, and this bloke obviously didn't look around properly enough, because there are better courses quite near.
How do you know?
Because I've got other perspectives.
You can't tell from a prospectus what the course is like.
You can see the content.
You can?
Mm-hmm. And Luton doesn't have any content.
Now, are you doing this all yourself, or are your parents instructing you where to go?
No, myself. Yeah. My parents don't mind where I go.
They just, as long as you go.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to a university near where you live, or far away?
Well,
are you about to make this mistake?
No.
In and around London.
Yeah.
So in other words, you're going to be near enough to live at home?
Yeah, I'm not going to live at home.
You're not going to live at home?
No.
Is the correct answer. Yeah, you're going to live near enough to be able to go back to get your washing done. And food and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And when you run out of money, you'll be able to go home and ask mum for some money.
Exactly.
Of course, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you get homesick, it'll be just near enough to go home and get like a decent meal, and then you'll be able to, go back to university, and you'll be eating beans. Beans and old milk.
I don't think I'll get homesick.
Your parents don't listen to this show then, obviously.
That's why I said it.
So this is student life in Luton. This is them advertising what it's going to be like. You know, they're trying to bring you in other words, because they want your money. That's what it's all about. That's why these universities make these, extremely expensive and well-put-together brochures.
A particular appeal to overseas.
Yeah, yeah. And there's lots of pictures of, babes. Lots of pictures of, good-looking, sweaty women.
there's nothing I like more than a good-looking, sweaty woman.
And, drinking. It's great. There's a picture of fireworks on the inside front page. What have we got? There's a picture of, that's probably a very flattering picture of a modern building. And then on the inside, there's a picture of a flower and fireworks. Two women and a guy, all with alcoholic drinks in their hand, all look just slightly drunk and happy enough that they're going to all leap into bed together.
Student life.
And I was madly flipping through the magazine to see if there were any pictures of that.
Were there?
Apparently not, no. And there's a bloke who is, high up. And it's all colourful and looks very groovy. Until you get to the part where it says student life in Luton. Okay, Luton offers a wide choice of venues for the arts, including St. George's Theatre, which is probably a good thing. Mm-hmm. A community arts centre. Mm. Oh, well, that's a good thing too.
Worthwhile?
Yeah, I suppose. They'll never go. Community arts?
No. Be too busy in the
But
pub.
It's a good thing, yeah. Right? Hmm. Two gaming casinos. What?
That can't be good.
That's the third biggest thing on their list here. Two gaming casinos. No. Wrong. What the hell is a student doing going into a casino? I am confused.
They spend all their money on beer and records anyway.
I mean, I've never been in a casino in my life. I'm 38 years old. I ain't old enough. Students are going to go into... That's what they're advertising Luton for? So come to Luton. We've got casinos. That's the University of Las Vegas they're thinking of. What? I mean, can you believe it? Like, casinos would welcome students in with open arms. They'll be busy betting 10 pence on red and then looking crestfallen when black comes up.
I bet you my Bob Marley poster.
Yes. I see your Bob Marley poster and raise you with a Che Guevara poster. And they got a cinema. That's good. And a library. Wrong. No. Like, you're going to go to Luton and go to the Central Library? I don't think so.
Never can you.
No.
So.
You're going to be, because you won't be able to pay the overdue fines on your books because you've lost all your money in the two gaming casinos.
Yeah.
And not one, mind, two. There's two casinos in Luton? Huh? So, we got any callers from Luton? Oh, yes, we do. Here's one. Hello, John.
Hello.
John.
Hello. Good evening, how are you?
All right.
Cool. Just slagging off Luton way there.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Yes.
Yes? Okay, carry on.
Well, no, I'm done. Your turn now.
Well, just slag it off.
Whatever it is that you're called about.
Can I do the opposite?
Please.
Okay, that's cool. I'm at Luton, doing media production.
Oh.
And, I'd just like to obviously not slag it off. So it is a really good place, and it's the place, and it's who you're with and how you do it and where you are.
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, Brunel University is where I went. It's a dreadful place. It looks like a chemicals factory. Right. Awful, ugly, hideous place.
Do you mind me asking what degree you did?
Psychology.
What, I see. Where did you go from there? I mean...
Here.
Right there.
Huh?
Right there.
No, I spent about 10 years, packing boxes and pulling tiles off roofs and doing anything but psychology.
Right, and was it radio you wanted to do?
Always was, yeah. But what's life like in Luton? Have you been to one of these two gaming casinos that the University of Luton is advertising?
I'm a second year, and it is okay. Believe it or not, Luton is 20 minutes from London, and it is the best media degree, even with
ones in London. Do you understand what you just said there, John? You said wait a minute. You said Luton is okay. It's 20 minutes from London. That's what you said.
Right.
And not only that is what you said, that is the only positive thing you've said about Luton so far. You said the course was good, which has got nothing to do with Luton itself, and then you said, and the only positive thing about the place was that it's near London.
No, did I finish there?
Well, go ahead, finish.
Okay, thank you very much. That has got the best, because you obviously, I can't remember the name of the guy on your show, but he's claiming he wants to go and do a media degree that's better in London. If he could find it, I'll be very pleased, because we've just had an inspection, and it's been classed the third best in England. Bournemouth being the first, which, you know, is quite a way from London. And if you want work experience, how's that going to help you?
And what's the second?
I don't know. I don't know. We know that Bournemouth is first, and we're trying to compete with them. Being that we've got, just got a brand new radio studio and lots of others.
Wow.
Three TV studios. You know, you can carry on. There you go.
Okay, well, if you've just had an inspection, John, then how can I disagree with that? I'm thinking of having an inspection myself. If I completely relax, will you come in and inspect me, Kev?
Let me think about that. No?
Okay, just checking.
Can you take a break, please?
Another break, you say?
Yeah.
Why, certainly. Here is actual real-life adverts as appeared in papers. You know, you go to the back of the paper and there's these people put in adverts for, you know, whatever it might be. Actual real-life adverts as they appeared in papers. Illiterate? Write today for free help. A mobile on the A414. Hello, Debbie.
Oh, hiya, Nick. I'm glad you switched through to me because I'm nearly home. You've been very entertaining for the last hour, by the way.
Thanks, Mum.
No, you were the strongest signal on my radio coming back from Derby, and it was really boring.
Wow. You should get a new radio.
Right, digital television.
Yes.
What is the point of Sky spending so much money on all their advertising on every channel, including my beloved QVC?
Oh, blimey, here we go. A complaint.
But when they launch, how many viewers can actually see it?
Well, that's a daft thing to say, dear. What are they going to... what would the solution to that be?
Well, apparently, 300,000 people rang up for their free brochures, and the response was, I'm sorry, you'll have to wait because we haven't printed enough. So how many did they do? Oh, this thing's not going to work. Let's do 10. We'll photocopy an extra 10 just in case.
I think you're exaggerating, Debbie.
But don't you think, what's the point of making such a fuss about it when not many people can actually watch it?
Because...
And would you get it?
Well, you might as well say that about any, invention. Like, the telephone is the same, and colour TV is the same. Why broadcast in colour when nobody's got a set back in 19, whatever it was?
Well, in that case, why don't they make it a bit more affordable, then? I mean, would you pay 200 quid for digital TV
it's
now?
It's on order. It is. Mine is on order.
What do you watch, then?
I watch television. Mine is on order, Debbie. It is on order.
Is that because you're so fed up with the BBC One?
Well, I can't get Sky in my building because I live in a place where, well, it's too long a story to go into. But so I'm going to get the terrestrial digital. I don't know whether I'm going to actually buy any of the extra channels. I just want it so I can get everything in widescreen and clear picture. That's what I want.
Yeah, and then you have something else to talk about.
Yeah.
But on digital terrestrial, they're going to have this new television channel, aren't they? This new shopping channel.
They are?
From Granada, apparently. So
oh,
you'll be able
blimey,
to see
who
what
cares?
Like.
I'm never going to buy anything off a TV. I want to actually hold it in my hands before I buy it.
Would you never order off mail order then?
No. Never, ever, 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 ever.
But you never even watch QVC?
Did we just have a conversation where I told you I don't get Sky?
But not even at other people's houses?
I know what it is, but why would a person watch QVC?
Because it's brilliant.
Oh, please, you'd have to chain me to the chair to make me watch QVC. What the hell do you watch that for?
For the entertainment.
It's not entertaining. Does that bloke who is camped as a row of three tents, who is apparently married, still do that with his bright orange jacket?
Oh, could you narrow it down a little bit?
I mean, it's that Michael Barrymore's wife, she should go out with him. She seems to be right up her street.
You know, it's a bit of a shame you were saying about QVC, because I had this great idea. In light of recent media developments in the world of television and radio today, I thought we could do the show live on QVC. Because think about it, then you could sort of turn to camera after saying, well, Debbie, I think you're wrong, but if you'd like to buy this lovely decanter set, then you can by calling our free call number.
Yeah, it's in real, genuine, plastic.
Yeah. Only six left.
Yes.
I thought that was a good idea, but you've scuppered that. Now, they'll never go for it.
Yeah, it's sinking as I speak. It's Aid Who Can't Get Laid.
Hello, Nick.
Aid.
Yeah, you haven't been on about digital TV all night, have you?
What?
You haven't been on about digital TV all night, have you?
But no.
I didn't want to be sort of...
Just that last call. Well, you don't... Well, okay, perhaps you shouldn't have called. You don't want to be boring.
No, you know what I mean. But I understand. I do agree with you on your point about people moaning about it coming out being expensive. I mean, like, when reel-to-reel tapes went out and they replaced them with cassettes, but people were, oh, these things will never catch on. And stuff like that.
Yeah, it's the same with any new technology. People are always like, well, what's the point? Because nobody's got it. And, you know, people will get it.
I do kind of think it might go a bit American, because you said that American TV is bad because there's that many channels.
No, that's not the reason American television is bad, and some American television is great.
But a lot of choice doesn't mean what they're going to show on.
In fact, almost everything that's worth watching in this country is American. I'd say 70% of the stuff that is worth watching on British channels originates in the States.
We only get the best, like, don't we?
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Yeah, if you got, with all this explosion of channels and that, you're gonna get everything else.
Well, I'm aware of that, but sitting in this country, we are exposed to the best of British television, and still only, I'd say, maximum 30% of what I watch is British. You know, I get the best of British television, and there's precious little of it.
What is British that you watch, then? So I do agree with you, there is nothing British, hardly.
Well, there's that Lost Civilization thing, I think the last thing is on tonight, that was a documentary on Channel 4. Have I got news for you when it's on? And then I start to really run out. Well, I do. What else is British that's actually worth watching?
Hey, and Nick, did you realise that Channel 5 was actually off the air this morning? Has anybody told you about this?
Channel 5?
Hey, it was where I was. I was supposed to be at the telly, but I went work.
Well, seriously, who cares? I mean, who's going to notice that? What is on Channel 5 in the morning? Cartoons.
It's the best thing I've seen on Channel 5 for ages.
Nothing. Yes.
And is Kev there?
Hello, Abe.
I don't want to be offensive, Abe, but don't Kev sound like Jack Doherty?
Do you want to know what you sound like?
What, being Scottish and all?
What do I sound like?
Okay, before you two girls get into a slanging match.
No, you'd have to dump me.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot, Aid.
Well,
0500 1053 89. It's a free. We've got to go to a break now?
Yes, please.
Yes, we do. Okay, actual real life advertisements as featured in a snooze paper. Are you ready?
Yep.
Auto repair service. Free pickup and delivery. Try us once, you'll never go anywhere again.
This is Talk Radio, the 1998 KPMG Commercial Radio Station of the Year. Nick Abbott.
You know, you'd think that he's helping you, but he's hurting you.
And I am hurting you, too. In ways which I can't describe right now. It's surreptitious.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Stealth. Like a bomber, I am hurting you. No, you may not have another.
That almost sounded like a rap. Like a bomber, I am hurting you.
Yeah. Yo, yo. Mother, Kev.
Leave my mother out of this.
No.
Yes.
Yo, mother, Kev.
Oh, no, that's just being downright offensive.
What's that?
That was unnecessarily nasty.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, thanks, Carol.
Okay, here's one in London. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Nick.
Chris.
Hello, I just want to comment on a cold remedy that someone phoned in with last week.
Yeah.
And you wasn't too keen on it because it had garlic in it.
Yeah, garlic and lemon juice and honey
ginger.
and ginger. And all that jazz, yeah.
Yeah, but...
Couldn't be bothered.
No, but I've had that. I used it, first time I used it was last year. And, you know, it does work wonders and everything. It really warms you up as soon as you drink it.
I'm sure.
And if you swallow the ginger, that does warm you up even more.
Yeah.
And another thing I was wondering is another health...
And another thing.
Yeah. So I heard on television some time ago that half the population of this country is deficient in zinc.
Yes.
So I've started taking zinc, and it's good for the skin and everything, and the glands of the body.
And the conversation, yeah, it's good for the glands, I think. You take a lot of zinc and it's, good for the glands. Gives them a good workout, I find. It's also, I take zinc and vitamin C. Every time I've got a cold, come in zinc and vitamin C. And Echinacea, I've probably pronounced that wrong, but it's more or less right.
What?
Okay, thanks a lot, mate. Please retain your reserves of zinc at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Here's one in Marlow. Harlow.
Hello, Nick.
Gemma.
I was watching South Park last Friday.
Yes.
And me and my friends had a poll on guessing who Cartman's dad is, and we're just wondering who you thought it might be.
Boring!
Cartman's dad, I have got no idea. I think it was, probably alien. You remember when he was sucked up onto the alien spaceship and given an anal probe?
I didn't have an anal probe!
Oh, yeah. Forgot about them. But we'll find out, Gemma. I guess we'll find out. Thanks a lot, dear. We're running out of time. Here's one in Burnley. Gerard? Is that right? Or Gerard?
Hello?
Yes. Okay, great call. That was my favourite so far. Here's one in Glasgow. Hello, Gareth.
Hello, Nick.
Gareth.
That Debbie that phoned in earlier.
Yeah.
She's actually and she was talking about QVC. She's a QVC presenter.
How do you know that?
Because I'm one of the sad people that watches it.
You are?
I'm afraid so.
How do you know that she's a presenter, though?
I recognise her giggle.
And what kind of products is she giving away that requires giggling?
Oh, she does lots of things.
I bet she does. I'm thinking of tuning in myself.
Oh, it's worthwhile.
If only I'd known. Have you ever really bought anything from Quality Vision Company? Whatever it's called. What is
Quality
QVC?
Quality Value and Convenience.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Well, somebody else watches it then.
Huh?
Somebody else watches it then.
Yeah, that's right. And so have you bought anything from it?
I'm afraid I have, yes, quite a few things.
And what's your favourite thing?
Oh, my tools.
Was that given away by Giggling Debbie, I think?
Oh, no, I'm afraid it was Harry Green.
Giggling Debbie and her amazing performing tools.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of shelling out for one of those myself. Are there any sets left? Mine for only $49.99. Why is everything always 99, by the way? Like, we're so stupid we don't know that 49.99 is actually 50p. Or £50, whichever.